Well, greetings this morning. One of the questions that Lyndon raised this morning, what would be a positive, or what is a highlight of being a priest? And some of you all mentioned about clothing and food and different things. And yes, that certainly would be rather nice. But I also thought of this, and it's a privilege that I have, that I get to lift up the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's what the priest did. You know, he lifted up the value and the glory of the Lord, and he let the glory of the Lord shine for the people. That is sobering, but it's also a glorious responsibility. We get to serve the King of Kings. Are you excited about serving the King of Kings? If you're not, can I invite you to that? He's worthy. He's done so much. It's a privilege. So, thank you for allowing me that privilege to serve you this way, to lift up the King of Kings to you this morning. Well, the goal is to continue our journey through the book of Ephesians. I hope you've been enjoying it. It's been a value to me to discipline myself to a book and follow through, and so it's been good for me. I hope you're finding it a blessing too, to just go through it. Just a little bit of recap, some of the things we've discussed in the past and different messages that we've covered. The first message, we spent some time on the history of Ephesus. There were Jews and Greeks that lived in that city. So it was a city that had a mixed group of people. And I'm assuming that mixed people actually is what made up the church then too, which brought some interesting dynamics. Also, Timothy was part of that church for quite a while. I think it's where Paul encouraged Timothy to ordain elders and do the work of the church. Paul spent about 3.5 years there. Also, Jesus wrote a letter directly to the church, inviting them to back to a deeper love to the Lord Jesus. And our second message, we spent some time in chapter 1 there then, and we looked at the the blessings that we have in heavenly places that we have in Christ. If you remember some of those blessings, we have been chosen. You are a holy priest. You have been forgiven. You have obtained an inheritance. This is the goodness of God to you that we have in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the value that you have as a Christian. The third message came out of Chapter 1, 15 through 23, we spent some time looking at how Paul prayed for the church. He prayed for them that they may know. Are we praying for each other? Am I praying for you? Are you praying for us? Are we praying for each other? Are we building each other up? Let's continue that up, especially in the day and age that we live in. We need each other. We need to support each other. And I think that's what some of God's heart for the community is, that we help carry each other's burdens. We love each other. We spend time carrying, caring, being friends. Let's see if we can't move that needle a little bit more at Joy. Speaking to myself, I need to continue to love and care. The fourth message came out of chapter 2, where we were dead. You were dead in our sins. But Jesus come, that you may be quickened, that you may be made alive. Are you alive this morning? If not, you can be. The fifth message came out of chapter 2, 4 through 10, talking about the love that we received from Christ, the love that can complete the gospel, the love that we can have for each other, the love that we can have towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sixth message came out of chapter 2, 11 through 21. Remember why you were reconciled to God. Do we remember why you have been reconciled to God? What is the purpose of our reconciliation to God? What was God's intent to reconcile us to Him? I want feedback on this one. What is the purpose that God wanted reconciliation? What was He hoping for? Do you think He wanted a peculiar people? What do you think's at the heart of that? The desire to reconcile mankind to Himself. A restored relationship. Hallelujah. God did what it took to reconcile us unto Himself. That's good stuff. Thank you, God. And then not only that we can be reconciled to Him. Because of that love that we experience, we can also be reconciled with each other. Are we living that out? Is that our heart? Is that our passion? Do we pursue that? Do we pursue the reconciliation with God and then also the reconciliation with other? We need to. If we're going to be a healthy community, I want that. I need that. Let's pursue it. Let's do what it takes to be reconciled to Him and to each other. So today we're going to be looking at chapter 3. I hope to be getting through verse 7, maybe pulling a little bit out of verse 9 and 10. Depends on how things go here this morning. But I do invite you to rise with me. I'd like to read the Word of God. I want you to think about what we're reading, look at what we'll be looking at, and ask questions as we read through this. What would God have for me today? What is it, Lord? You're our high priest. Speak to us. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man. It is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So here in verse 5, it kind of jumped out to me from our Sunday school lesson. The mystery was made known unto the sons of men, revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. So here, Paul says, the Holy Spirit revealed the mystery to the apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we need men filled with the Holy Spirit to be revealed, that the Spirit of God can reveal and make known the mysteries of God. This is kind of a side note. Are you ever curious and wish you could understand more of the mysteries of God? I hope you do. I think it's a sign of our hunger and thirst after God. Because if we're not curious about the mystery of God and the things that may be still unknown to us, what is our curiosity? Where is our curiosity? Where is it at? I'm often curious about the mysteries of God. And I wish they were more revealed unto me. Maybe some of that is my responsibility. Maybe I should be more in tune with the Holy Spirit. But let's be curious about the mysteries of God. And let's also be willing to be men and women that the Spirit can reveal, that we can understand the mysteries of God. So we'll start in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. We're just going to look at who was Paul a prisoner of? Like, did Jesus Christ capture him and put him into prison? Is that kind of how it's read here? That in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Who did put Paul in prison? Can somebody tell me? Who put, in your mind, who put Paul into prison? Was it the Jews? The Romans? What do we think? I kind of think it was the Romans, right? But the Jews stirred them up. So could we say maybe both of them groups of people? And it's not that it really matters. But yet it does. Because here Paul is, and he is writing a letter, and I don't think it was Jesus Christ that put him into prison. But he says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ, sitting in prison. Now, if that doesn't change a person's perspective, sitting in prison and not feeling like it's the Jews or the Romans that put me in prison, I'm here because of Jesus Christ. Now, does that give Paul vision and purpose? It seems like it would. It would me. I'm here for the sake of something more than what I see and feel, and I'm here because of something more than just the Romans that I talk with. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. That's impactful. And I think if we can live our lives with this kind of mindset, that whatever I face may be more about Jesus Christ than the thing that I'm actually facing, that might actually change perspectives. Are we willing to look at life that way? Or do we like to just accept the natural? May the Lord help us. The words of Jesus to Ananias about Paul, when Paul was converted, Jesus also spoke to Ananias and said, there is one called Paul from Tarsus that is going to come, and he's going to be in your town, and you need to go and you need to talk to him. And Jesus described Paul as this kind of person, Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, speaking to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So there we see some of the reason and the purpose that the Lord called Paul on the road to Damascus. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So I don't know if Paul ever heard those words spoken to him that he could understand while he's sitting in prison. He can understand and know that I am a chosen vessel to be a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have any other purpose, but I'm here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'd like to just go through some of the things that Paul experienced. It was more than just prison. In 2 Corinthians, when he was writing the letter to the church at Corinth, he kind of unloaded about all the things that he faced in his missionary journey and different things. So I just want to invite you to hear what he all went through. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He just explains all that he faced and suffered to share the gospel, to reveal the mystery. 11:22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have spent in the deep. Not sure what that looks like, a night in the deep. In journeyings often, in pearls of water, in pearls of robbers, in pearls of mine own countrymen, in pearls by the heathen, in pearls in the city, in pearls of the wilderness, in pearls in the sea, in pearls among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the church, who is weak, and I am not weak. Who is offended, I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king kept the city of Damascus of the garrison, desired to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was let down the wall and escaped the hands. Paul faced a lot. What kept him going? What kept him going? I think if I would have been in my first shipwreck, I would have said, I'm crazy. I must have made a mistake. Did I hear from the Lord? I must have messed up. Took the wrong boat. Something. Paul had something that I think we should all desire. He had a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ like none other. Lord, would you raise up men and women with a passion like the Apostle Paul? And that they would recognize that I'm here for a purpose and it's not my own. And that that passion would drive them and take them through hardships and get them to the other side. And it may even be a prison if it need be, or whatever it may be, wherever they find themselves sitting. I'm here because of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you do that? Lord, would your Spirit fall on us and quicken us, our mortal bodies, and renew us in our spirit that we could be holy men and women with a passion. In 2025, would you raise up men and women? Your choice. The invitation is open. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Are you a servant of God? So, we saw what Paul was doing. So, now let's look at So we know who Paul was working for, right? He wasn't in prison because of his own agenda. He wasn't in prison because of the Romans. He wasn't in prison because of the Jews. He was in prison because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what was his mission? What was he up to? Why did he suffer all those things? And we'll find that in verse 4. Verse 4 says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This is what drove him. This is part of the mission. This is the vision or mission that Paul was willing to suffer these things. Yes, he was a servant of Jesus Christ, but this was what it was about. That people may know the mystery of Christ. In verse 5, which in other ages was not known, made known unto the sons of men, it is now revealed unto his holy prophets, apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should know that they are joint, that they are fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. This is what he was about. This is his message. He was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is his message that was hidden in ages past. But now the Gentiles can be fellow heirs. Paul had information. He had knowledge. And he didn't want to hold back from wanting others to know the experience and the mystery. Verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The reason Paul is a prisoner, because he was revealing the mystery. You know, if he wasn't revealing the mystery, if he wasn't sharing the gospel, I don't think the Jews or the Romans would have locked him up. It's because he was revealing the mystery that was hid from the ages past. Now he's being beaten. He's being imprisoned. This is his mission, to make the mystery known. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which hath been from had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glories of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So it's not Paul alone. It's also Christ Jesus in him. It's the Spirit of God working in him, but he is a willing vessel. Are we willing vessels? Can we burn with the passion of Jesus? So, we know who Paul was, can we say, working for? Who was his Lord? Who he was given honor to? And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we know what his mission was about. It was to share the mystery, the gospel. Now let's look into this mystery, and we'll find what that mystery contained. I think we may have read it already, but let's just dive into that a little bit. This is the mystery. Do you know what the mystery is about? Do you know the mystery that was hid in ages past? What is the mystery? Are you with me? Please bring a comeback. What is the mystery? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. What else? What is the mystery? That's an incredible thing. Christ in you. That. What else? There's more. I mean, but yeah, there is. Let's put some words to other aspects of this mystery. It's for everybody. It's for, yeah. Salvation is of the Jews. No, salvation is come by the Jews. For who? The whole world. For God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would come unto him may have life, and have life more abundantly. Do you see what was driving Paul? This is a great mystery. What else? What is this great mystery? Let me give you a hint. What's going to happen, or how should I say, is the importance of the Jewish nation as important as it may have been in the past? What is Christ initiating here? The Jewish nation had a purpose, and it was that the Savior may come through that nation. But Jesus Christ also is initiating something else. And what is it? It's where the Jews and the Gentiles can come together. And it's not in a nation. What is it? In one body. And that body is the church. And we are one body. Oh, I'd love to have Jews here this morning. Well, I think I would. Maybe I better be careful I say that. But that would be the gospel. If the Jews and Gentiles could be sitting here worshiping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the passion. That's the purpose of the church. It's no longer a nation, but it's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. Thank you, God. And Paul was excited about that mystery. So God is no longer working through a nation, but a separate entity called the church, the bride of Christ. Christ has become the high priest, like we mentioned this morning. So can we see the conflict between the Jews and the Gentiles here? The Jews thought that they are the people of God, and Paul is saying, no, the Gentiles can also be a part of God, part of the kingdom of God, part of the body. Do we see how this mystery affected both Jews and the Gentiles? To the Jews, because they had come to believe that salvation belongs only to them. And it is true, Jesus said, salvation comes by the Jews. But God's intent was that all would be saved through the Jews, through Jesus. Whosoever believeth on him should have everlasting life. This was part of the mystery that Paul was bringing out. Spend a little time looking now at, so we understand the mystery, but how is this mystery and how was the mystery introduced and revealed to Paul? Was it through the Jewish nation? How was this mystery revealed? It's an important element. It's an important element. It was an important element for Paul, and it's an important element for us. And that's why I'd like to spend a little time looking at it. What? How was the mystery revealed unto Paul? I invite your comeback. By the Holy Spirit. Was not of men. And so therefore, it's the revelation that we can receive by the Spirit. Do we see the importance of knowing and hearing and listening to the Spirit of the Lord? It's the thing that will make. When we sit with the Word of God and the Spirit reveals things to us, we get to know and understand, and we get a little bit of glimpse into the mystery of God. Do you sit? Do you sit with the Spirit and allow Him to reveal the mysteries of God? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you want to know the deep things of God? We have to have it revealed by the Spirit. For what man knoweth, the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So Paul is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His mission is to share the mystery. And the mystery was revealed to him by the Spirit. So, gives us a little bit of insight into Paul's life. He's a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a mission, which is to reveal the mystery. And that mystery was revealed unto him by the Spirit. Was that impactful to you today? It could be. But I think that's where we ought to be looking at. Okay, so that was Paul. He knew who he was, who he was serving, what his mission was, and how he received it. He clearly understood that. The question comes to you and I this morning. Do you know whose you are? Do you know who you're? Like, I think we can get it, but a whiteboard would have helped. But so let's just go back to verse 1 and look at it. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And I would just like you to picture with me. So let's just say I, Jason, blank of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So I, Brother Aaron, blank of Jesus Christ. And I don't suppose, Aaron, you're sitting in prison this morning, are you? So you wouldn't say, I, Aaron, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, right? You wouldn't say that this morning, would you? Do you feel like you're in prison? Yep, okay. You're a bond slave. Yep. So, okay, there you go. Does anybody want to look for something that works? Oh, yeah. Somebody did tell me that. Thanks for reminding me. How do you open it? Yeah. Woo. They may have been it one day. That's fine. Are you guys with me? Do you get what I'm saying? I, Brother Lawrence, am a of Jesus Christ. You know, and Brother Lawrence, I don't think he would say, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But could he say that I, Brother Lawrence, am a... Thank you. So, and I want you to... You know, what is your name? You put this in here. I, Jason, and then A, and this is for you to fill in. What? I don't think you're going to put in prisoner. But I think we need to, sometime along life's journey, start solidifying what am I? Brother Aaron uses the word bondservant.
Before that, I'm a son.
Okay. Yep. Good. What are others that we could put in that? And these are all so important because it helps our purpose in life. If we're not able to answer this, and I don't want to come across condemning, because there was a time in my Christian life that's not necessarily real clear, and that's okay. I want to give you grace, but I think some of our purpose as a Christian, we need to start filling in this blank. What I, Jason, am a, what is it, son? What are some others that you're thinking of this morning? What, you know, we'd heard about high priest this morning. Well, yeah, we don't have them anymore. Jesus is our high priest. But what, I mean, should this be a part of it? I, Jason, am a farmer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that Should that be a part of that blank? What do you think? By craft? Okay. Well, you're stretching my message a little bit, but okay.
Yeah,
we're good. Okay. What do we think, brothers? I get what you're saying, because, you know, if we're not careful, we could take away the role of a housemaker. You know, we don't want to do that. And you're right. Thank you for bringing us together. But why am I a farmer? Why am I a housewife? Why am I a deck builder? Why am I a mechanic? I think sometimes I, Jason, am a farmer, and I don't include. But life becomes so much more meaningful and so much more purposeful, like it did for Paul when he recognized that I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Life becomes so much more purposeful and meaningful when I can recognize that I am a housemaker of Jesus Christ. Do we want to add more to any of this? The goal that I want to lift up, or what I would like to invite you here to hear this morning, is, do you know whose you are? Do you know that you're a bondservant? Do you know that you're a son of God? Do you know, are you filling in this blank? And the reason I want to challenge you or invite you to this is because this generation needs to see passion and love and devotion for who? They need to see it for the Lord Jesus Christ. This generation needs to see young men and young women and old men and old ladies excited and passionate like Paul. For who? For the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see that, when that passion is alive and real and coming out of the Spirit of the Lord, His glory is lifted up among us. His praise will continually be in my mouth. But when I stop short, and that becomes my passion, and that becomes my fulfillment, the glory of the Lord is lost. So the question I want to leave with you today, what is my passion? Paul's was that the mystery of God would be revealed to the Gentiles and to the Jews, that there is fellowship. What is your passion today? What motivates me Monday through Saturday? Are you a Sunday Christian or are you a Seventh-day worshiper? Am I passionate about the Lord on Sunday, but the rest of the week it's about my own pursuits? Are you a daily worshiper? The incredible thing is that we get to choose what excites us. You may think, well, I'm just not wired to be passionate that way. Well, maybe it's because you're plugged into the wrong thing. Can I invite you to plug into the Lord Jesus Christ, let His Spirit dwell within you, and you become passionate for Him? Joshua challenged the people in his day, choose this day whom you will serve. Choose this day whom you will serve. Is it this one or is it this one? Choose this day whom you will serve. For the Apostle Paul, it was clear to him what he was and whose he was and the mission that followed because of that. And we find it hard to, fill in the blank. Please don't be condemned. Like I said earlier, Paul started his journey with the question like this. And I think this is a good place to start. If you're a little struggling to finish this sentence well in your own life and in your own journey, it's okay. But I invite you to this question that Paul asked the Lord, and it was this. In Acts 6, he says, "And he trembling," this is on his day of conversion, "he trembling and astonished said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" Would you consider having a heart like that? "Lord, here I am. You saved me. What wilt thou have me to do?" And that could be a daily question. That can be an ongoing question. And I would assume if that's your kind of heart, you can just keep right on going and filling in. 10 years ago, I was a farmer. Today, I'm a farmer. But the Lord has called me to be a pastor. I think many of us remember the message from Merle Burkholder last week. What is it for me? I want to just serve you. Can we have that heart posture? And are we willing to get passionate about that? I just want to invite young and old, let's get passionate about the Lord. And I just want to acknowledge that this is a challenge for me too. I get distracted. I get wrapped up in this. I neglect my sitting with the Lord and listening to His Spirit because of this in here. I have to repent because I wasn't connecting to the Lord. I was coming to life in my own strength. I wish the verse was actually true. I know it is true, but Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And unfortunately, in my own arm of flesh, I can do things, but it's not life-giving. May we be able to connect to that life-giving source and stay connected to that Spirit and give us purpose. So I just want to invite young and old, would we become passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ? It will change our values. It will change our culture. It will change what we pursue, what we do, what we spend our time on. Also, what you're passionate about, you inspire others in. So, if you ever wish the people around you were more inspiring about the things of the Lord, I just want to challenge you. Are you being as inspiring as you can be about the Lord? Maybe they're waiting for you to let your passion show. Would you be a willing vessel to let your passion show? Your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew who he was. He was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew his mission. It was to spread the mystery, to declare the mystery. And Paul had a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have this passage here. I'm sorry, I'm not sure where it's found. I think it was Philippians, but I'm not sure. I'm just going to read through it. "Yea, doubtless..." So this is part of Paul's story. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable into his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Will you follow after? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also was apprehended for. Apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are in the past and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, this is Paul inviting his brethren, and I'm inviting you into what Paul is inviting his people into. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have me for an example. So Paul is saying, look, this is my drive, this is my mission. Would you follow my example? Leaving those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark of the high calling. May this be our passion. May the passion of the church for Christ and the church. Willing offerings make. I thought that song was very fitting this morning. For Christ and the church. Will this be your passion? Pressing toward the mark of the high calling. Please rise with me. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your word here this morning. Thank you for the life and the example of Paul, of his love for you, and how that he wanted and desired that the Ephesians may know what the fellowship of the saints are, that the Jews and the Gentiles could be together in one body, one glorious holy body, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that example. Thank you for the challenge that you brought to me through this study to be excited and passionate about you and your mysteries and your gospel, that it would bring motivation and bring enthusiasm into my step and my purpose. And that when I'm a farmer next week, that I could still be a worshiper. And that these people here that I've gathered here, that they will be worshipers day in and day out. Lord, we want to be alive. We want to have a purpose. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou have us to do? Lord, what do you have Joy to do? Help us to keep writing those things in those blanks and know that our purpose is for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave all and set us free that we could serve you. Fulfill your purpose among us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I commit all these into your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your time and your attention. May God continue to invite you to that holy road.